السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، وهو العزيز الغفور. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and put us in this worldly life. This worldly life is called the dunya. And if Allah intended that we must come and live in this world as we wish, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have left us to those potentials, those abilities that He gave us to live. For example, the intellect and the inner feelings, which we call desires. So we will use our intellectual prowess and we will spend this life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't expect that from us. He didn't create us for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us so that we must only live a little while in this world. And this while in this world will determine an everlasting abode in another world. That's what we are in this world for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us for this world. He created us for another life, an eternal life in which a person will live either in bliss or he will live in punishment. But the criteria of how we're going to live in the next life depends on how we spend our life in this world. So we have this life and we have another life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ. Everything we create in pairs. There's darkness, there's light. There's black, white. Happiness, sadness. Good times, difficult times. Everything. Male, female. Although some are questioning. For Allah, that's His system. So Allah has this life, and then there's another life. Likewise, you and I are made of two parts. The outer body that we can see, that is visible to the naked eye, and the other is the internal, that which we cannot see. Like what goes through your mind? What feelings do you have in your heart? What values do you carry in life? What are your beliefs? Nobody can see. So, on the outward, looking from far, you can see a nice orange. But no sooner do you go near, you will find that it was made of plastic. And if it is made of plastic, will it have the inner, the juice, the sweetness, the nutritional value? It won't have. From far you look at something that may look like a snake or a lion. But when you go closer, it is just a prank. So it doesn't have the bite. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, you have a certain amount of belief. But then Allah Ta'ala says, Aminu. Then increase your belief. One is Imanul Mawjood. And the other is Imanul Matloob. One is to know that Allah is the creator. Allah is my sustainer. Allah is the doer. And Allah is my only one that I worship. But then is that in the recesses of the heart? Do we really believe Allah is our sustainer? So if He has prescribed in our taqdeer that we're going to earn a certain amount of money, and then in pursuit of that wealth, some haram transaction comes or some very juicy deal comes which is suspicious from an Islamic point of view, will you say to yourself, but Allah already wrote that I'm going to get so much. Why must I indulge in this? I don't have to indulge in this because I'm still going to get the total amount. That's where the test comes. To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is in charge of my life. But when an occasion comes, then we put yaqeen in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where the test comes. How we spend our time, what are our priorities in life? Do we give priority and preference to the command of Allah over our desires and society and family wants and demands? All these are indicative of how strong it is inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, to go back to the first point, sent us in this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chalked out two ways of life for each one of us. Either you will follow the nur that I sent to you, the nur of hidayat, or you follow shaitan and your desires and society. Shaitan, desires and society. One inside, two outside. That's what we're living for. That those are the greatest forces against us. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends nur, the nur of hidayat. In every rakat of namaz, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What is the nur of hidayat? All the prophets, the anbiya alayhi salam that Allah sent. All the books that Allah Ta'ala sent. All the reminders, just like this bayan as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending. These are all the means of hidayat and nur of hidayat. A sahabi by the name of Haritha, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him, so how are you, Haritha? He says, asbahtu bil iman. I woke up with a powerful feeling and a strength of iman in my heart. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, well, every statement has an evidence, a proof. He say, I fasted, I'm fasting, I made tahajjud last night, and I feel as if the reality of Jannat and Jahannam is right in front of me. I can see the people of Jannah enjoying themselves, and I can see the hardships of the people of Jahannam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Nawwar Allahu qalbak. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enlightened your heart. What that means is that when that nur of hidayat comes into a person's heart, then there is a change of attitude of how you're going to live in this world. Now all your values change, your paradigms change, your definitions of life change. What is success? What is failure? What is to be wealthy and what is to be poor? All that changes. Because now he is living a life of the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this heart has been enlightened. The opposite of that is to enjoy this worldly life. To make effort for this worldly life. To spend most of our time in earning the pleasures of this worldly life. Feeding our outward body, not the inward, neglecting the inward, neglecting the spiritual ascendance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neglecting that progress towards Allah's proximity. No, I want to fulfill my desire of eating, I want to fulfill my desire of wearing, I want to fulfill my desire of intoxicating myself. I want to fulfill my desire of driving. And a whole life goes in that. There are non-Muslims, celebrities, and I hope not Muslims, who pay R1 million for a watch. Because it shows a status of that body, of that outward. A woman will pay 500,000 rand for a handbag. Because it must show status for that outfit. If they making so much effort on the outside, how much of effort we needed to make for our inside? Because we know we're not going to be here forever. We are here to send for the akhirah. That is what we have been created for. And the world and whatever Allah has put in there is the test. Whether you're going to use the potential, the abilities, the strengths that I gave you in this world, are you going to use it so that you may be successful in this world and you can get what you like in this world, or you're going to use it for another world? Which is everlasting. Islam doesn't stop anybody from acquiring anything of this dunya. But Quran says, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهِ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. And desire for whatever Allah has given you, use it for your akhirah. And that is the simple definition of how a Muslim lives. Whatever he does, it must be for an eternal benefit and it must fulfill his need in this world. It must have a dual purpose. If it has only one purpose, it can either lead to shirk if it's a worship. That means you read namaz, even an ibadat. You read it to show somebody. You gave a charity to show somebody. Its benefit is not transcending this world. Or it could be just that you're fulfilling your desire in this world. And that Quran says, لَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Don't let this worldly life beguile you. That means you have fallen into that trap of being beguiled. You think that this is going to be a success if I acquire this in this world. But Quran saying it's not a success. So respected brothers and elders, what I'm here for, that was an introduction to what I'm here for. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless us with an ijtima. Next week, this time, the ijtima will begin. From Jum'ah. Now, the question is that why do we have this ijtima? And where does this ijtima belong in our deen? The ijtima is part of an effort which is connected to the effort of the Noor of Hidayah. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Anbiya alayhim as-salam, prophets to this world. He sent the Quran and the kitabs to this world to guide mankind. Either to enter into Islam or to advance and progress within your Islam. Because al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus. Quran says, إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When Quran is rehearsed to them, the iman grows. So iman fluctuates. That is why we make dua every day for hidayah. So part of the effort of people getting hidayat, or those that are on hidayat, must not become neglectful of their hidayat. This effort is called dawah. To invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To invite every individual on this earth. To make sure that every individual on this earth does not become neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not become oblivious of His purpose in this world. He must be reminded all the time, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We are humans, we slip, we err. We're not like malaika that are imbadat all the time. We have other desires. We have forces working against us. Some of us, we are indulging in abundance. And that is why we became neglectful. Some of us are stooped in difficulties and hardships. And that's why we became neglectful. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Poverty can lead a person to kufr. So every now and then, we need that reminder that Allah is in charge. Allah is the one that created us, and all conditions are in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Don't run behind the creation, run behind the creator. Your connection with makhluq will not help you. Your creation with the khaliq will help you. And we even go to the extent of propagating that there are instances where mal can't do, but amal can do. That is the dawah. That in our lives, we should believe that primarily my actions and my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, which is called amal, deeds, that will determine the condition that will come on me. Not what I can do with my wealth that can change conditions. That is what we promote. We say to mankind that our success, my success, and your success, and the success of mankind till the day of Qiyamah is only in deen. That's not a small statement to make. It's not a rhetorical statement that, okay, every week must make elan. No, we believe that. That if you come to me and say, Molana, I got a problem, I tell you, turn to deen. Turn to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings. And you will be delivered from that problem. And I have to say it with certainty. That if you turn to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll see miracles in your life. Why we call it miracles? Because everybody is believing the opposite. That things can help you. And there are ways of solving a problem. We say there's only one way. So when this works, we call it a miracle. Whereas this is supposed to be the norm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this opportunity that we take part as the people of Durban. We take part in this effort that how every person that comes to the ijtima must be reminded why he's living in this world. Why he came to this world. What is his ultimate goal supposed to be in this world? And more importantly, with the suffering of the Muslim Ummah in different parts of the world, especially in Gaza, how do we use what we have? If Allah has blessed us with food, Allah has blessed us with access, wealth, where should it be used? Normally we say it must be used to feed the people of Gaza. It must be used to provide a certain assistance to a certain Muslim community somewhere. No. All excess, my mindset should be that all my excess must be used in the path of Allah. Whether it's the different efforts of deen, whether it is ta'lim in the sense of madrasas and darulums, whether it is in gatherings around the pious mashayikh of tasawwuf, or is it in welfare where people need food and they need aid, in whichever way my excess wealth is for Allah, not for me to spend on expensive items, not for me to flash and show off, not for me to show the world how much I got and build upon properties upon properties, because I want to build my akhirah. This is that turn, that change, that tawjih, that direction, that change of direction that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought to the people, that Quran invites us to. This is that effort. This is the effort. This is why we go to an ijtima. So you can get a heavy dosage of this akhirah. So that you may just start a new life, change your life, and if you're on that, you are more strengthened. That is an ijtima. And the difference between ijtima and other efforts of deen is that the ijtima is connected to an effort that comes to you, the neglectful one, the unmindful one, the one that is not worried about his akhirah. Whereas that person who's worried, he'll go to a darulum, he'll go sit by the ulama in the durus. He will sit by the mashayikh. He will make an effort to take part in some charity. But here is a person that is unmindful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, as you'll hear in the Arabic khutbah, he's described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two places. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُنُ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah Ta'ala is saying, perhaps you are going to destroy yourself, O Nabi of Allah, because these people are not going to believe. Because these people don't want to come onto the right path. This was the concern that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought to this world. And if we are those who follow the sunnah, then we have to follow this concern. It's not only the outward, where we appear as Muslims. What about the inward, as I explained to you in the beginning? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of hidayat in this world. May Allah ta'ala, especially you all are now the Ansar, you know the stories of the Ansar and the Muhajirin. You all can take all the sawab of this ijtima. If 1,000 people come and read Zohar namaz, we've got sawab of 1,000 people reading Zohar namaz. You see, make the khidmat of Muslims, feed them, go to your respective where efforts that are being made in the masjid, tell us what responsibility are we being given. I want to take part. I want to take part in the effort of deen. I want to take part in the upliftment of deen. What better izzah and karama and honor can we get from than that? Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.